Well, I'm going to get into this word here that I've got for you guys, and I'm just going to be honest parent for you. I've got something to share. I believe it will help us, and it's kind of going to a thought that we talked about last time we were together, last Sunday, I believe, when I preached the word last Sunday about the element of synchronization, and I made a statement about Jeremiah. God knew him before he was in his belly's womb. Remember that? God knew us before we were in our mother's womb. Then wonder what kind of conversations you had. Think about that. Deuteronomy 32:9. Because see, I believe in those times of conversation that we had with him before we were ever formed in our mother's belly. It was a time to where we had encounters. You're going to hear that a lot from me this year, because I believe this is a year of encountering him. But I believe during those times that we were having conversation when he knew us before we were in our mother's womb, there were encounters that we had with him that talked about our future. Amen. And he began to reveal things to us about our future. And I believe this is the reason, one of the reasons it's found in Deuteronomy 32:9, the Amplified. It says, "For the Lord's portion is his people." Hear that. Jacob, Israel, is the lot of his inheritance. We, as the people of God, we are the Lord's portion. Now, we talk a lot about getting our inheritance and getting our stuff and, you know, going into the enemy's camp and taking back what the devil stole from me, you know, and I understand all that, you know, but this is the thing, you know, it's all about, you know, me getting my portion and my inheritance. But you know what? The Lord is desiring his portion. Amen. He's desiring his inheritance, and it's found in you and I. Ephesians 1:17-23, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." We've read this scripture before. "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Everybody say his calling. Not your calling. What's the hope of his calling? Hear that. Listen to the wording. "And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance." Not our inheritance, but his inheritance. In where? In the saints. There's an inheritance. Come on, there's a hope of his calling that's found in his people, in us, the saints. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?" Where? To usward. There's an exceeding greatness of his power in us. That he is desiring, you know, Sister Tammy, I want my portion of the greatness that's in you. This is what the Lord is calling us out of us, is the portion that he's placing, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You see, all this is about him, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Hear that. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. There is a need. I talked about this last Sunday, but there's a need for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Come on. In the knowledge of him, for us to be able to comprehend this supernatural realm around us. Amen. We have a need for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? So we can be able to comprehend the supernatural realm that's all around us. See, the supernatural realm is more real than the realm we're looking at right now in the natural. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, listen, gives us eyes and ears to be able to access heavenly realms and to cooperate, co-labor with the plan of heaven for each moment of our lives. We are destined, hear this, I'm going to talk about destiny today. We are destined to be a people that manifests the King of glory and his kingdom to a people that's blinded from the truth of Jesus Christ. God desires for us to be enlightened to know the hope of his calling. What are we talking about? His portion, his inheritance that's found in us. To know, or to be enlightened, or to know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance that's found in only one place, say the saints. The exceeding greatness of his power flows from those who believe. We just read that. Let's look at it again. To verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe." Amen. according to the working of his mighty power. So the exceeding greatness of his power flows from those who believe. God's looking for some believers. Amen. Amen. How many by a show of hands would say God has called you to this place? Amen. This place that you're in right now. Some of you hesitated a little bit. That's okay. The thing I'm trying to get across to you is this. We got to know. Amen. We got to know. We have to know where God has called us to. And we have to believe that we are planted where he wants us, come on, to flourish. You know, I might be called to the nations, but you know what? I'm in Selma, Tennessee right now. You hear that? So what am I doing there? Am I flourishing? Or am I sitting there saying, one day, Sister Lydia in the sweet by and by, hallelujah, I'm going to be great, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, you know, and you may do that. You know, but right now is where you're at. Amen? You got to learn how to flourish where you're at. I believe every one of us in here are called to greatness and called to greater things and to go to nations. And I'm talking about literally go, you know, overseas or whatever, or go across the globe in preaching the gospel. There are giftings and talents and callings in this place that people are going to do that. But right now, you right here, if you're faithful in the few things, then he'll make you ruler over the great things. What are the great things you think about? I'm going down another corridor here. I can't help it. What are the great things that you think about? You know, like, man, that'd be great. If I was just doing that, oh, man, that would be great. You know, well, let me tell you something. Be faithful in the few things. And then that great thing you're thinking about, God will begin to entrust to you. But before he'll entrust those greater things and you fill in the blanks on that, I mean, no, you got to be faithful to where you're planted. So many times we uproot ourselves. God is bringing a people together who are learning how to dig down deep into the soil that he has planted them in, that their roots would go down and gather the nutrients and all the supply of food and resources, the fertilizer, come on, somebody, the water, everything we need, why, that we can become fruitful, yes, but that's the end result. But first of all, that we would become, hear this, stable. Stable. Amen. Stability. Be men and women of integrity. What are you saying? Do what you say and say what you mean. Amen. God is raising up a people who are going to be true to their word. And in order for them to do that, to become those trees of righteousness, they've got to learn how to let themselves be planted in the ground. Roots get deep. Why? Because when the storms of life come, they may sway and bend, but they won't break. Amen. And then what will happen? Then the bud will come. And then the fruit, full corn in the air. And then we'll begin to bear fruit because God desires that we bear much fruit. What are you talking about? His portion. The Lord's portion is his people. It is the working of his mighty power that is in Christ, who is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Again, the portion. The body, come on, the body that is supposed to be flowing, hear this, as the fullness of him, filling all things. Amen? We are supposed to be the body. This is the Lord's portion. The Lord is looking for his portion to begin manifesting in the fullness, or rather manifesting the fullness of Christ in the earth. His portion is the church, the body of Christ. Most of the church is waiting, hear this, on the Lord to do something. When all the while the Lord's waiting on the church to do something. Why? Because he's done everything. He's done everything that's needed for you and I to become those stable men and women of God, his inheritance, come on, in the saints, his portion that's found in his people, growing up into stability and strength, becoming trees of righteousness. Come on. That's what God's calling us to be, the church. Most of the church is waiting on God to do something. Well, I'll do it when God does it. You know, and God's like, I've given you my word. I've sent people across your path to speak words of life and encouragement, words of prophecy unto you. And, you know, it's kind of like that old story to where the elderly lady, the flood's coming. She lives down by the river, and the flood's coming, and the guys, the rescue team come, the fire department or whoever it is, you know, those types of people that does that, comes and says, listen, man, we need to get you out of here. We need to evacuate this place because the flood's coming. Your house is right in the way of the flood lines. And she says, the Lord's going to take care of me. And y'all just go on. Come on, somebody. And then, you know, the water gets up to her porch, you know, and somebody, here come a rescue guy in a boat. He goes, ma'am, you need to get in the boat with me. The flood water's coming. You know, the Lord's going to take care of me. He's going to get me out of this, you know. And then finally she's on top of the roof and a helicopter comes. The water's all the way up to the roof line, and she's sitting on the roof by the chimney holding on, and the helicopter says, ma'am, we've come to save you. You know, and she says, the Lord's going to save me. And then she finally, the water comes over, she drowns, and she goes to heaven, and she gets mad at God and says, God, why didn't you save me from the flood? And he was like, I sent the fire department, I sent somebody in a boat, and then I sent somebody in a helicopter. I figured you didn't want no help, so I thought I'd just bring you on back. Amen. What are you saying? You know, we were waiting on the God to do something when he's done so much already, and he's waiting on us. We sing a song, waiting on you, waiting on you. We're patiently waiting on you. That song, Clint Brown song, you know, and I believe it's the Lord singing it to us. Waiting on you, Lydia, would you hurry up? Waiting on you, Denise. Come on. Your tail dragging your tracks out. But God's waiting on us to do something. Well, what he's already given. This is why, this is the title of the sermon today. This is why he gives us encounters of the future. Amen? He knows that we are his portion, and he knows that we are his inheritance, but he also knows that we're not grabbing it. We're not getting it sometimes. And so in order for us to get it, he gives us encounters of the future. What are you talking about? Hopefully I can explain. It's those moments of experiences with him that we seem to just happen upon. Come on. At times when we come across places that we feel we've been there before, because we sense there's a residue, there's a fragrance here, there's something here. It's part of my spiritual DNA, and I can't exactly put my finger on it, but it's part of my spiritual DNA of my Father. Amen? It's an encounter of the future. What are you talking about? You run into somebody, and there's a connection there, and you've never met them before. I've been in restaurants. Lady J can testify. I've been in restaurants, and somebody, a waiter or something, would be waiting on us, and I would look at her, and I said, I think I know him, or I think I know her. And do you? And she's like, I don't know. I've seen millions of people. You know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But she's like the same way. I don't know, you know. And then I get to ask, and I can't help. I'm like, do I know you? And, you know, and then, of course, it's the same thing. You know, you look familiar to me. You know, I don't think that's coincidence. Come on, somebody. And you know, you come to find out that you go to church somewhere, and no, do you live in this certain county? No, but it's like you still know, and you open up an area of conversation. And I believe it's those types of encounters where God is grooming us. Come on, somebody. He's grooming us to understand that he's trying to get us to operate and flow in his DNA. Because he's taking us someplace. He's trying to get us someplace. You meet somebody and you just connect with them, say, in a church. Pastor Eric Newble, I love using this example. When we first met, we just connected, okay? Didn't know him from anybody, you know? And it's just like we just, you know, connected. He come up, where are you guys from? Where y'all, you know? And long story short, come to find out that me and him grew up in the same town. Didn't even know it. His relatives know my relatives. Amen. They went to school with each other and everything. He was raised up around Whiteville, Tennessee, and that's where about all my family, the bishop side of the family, is from, Whiteville. You know, and his uncle, Dave, Pastor Dave Newble, was at that meeting that night. And he came up to me, you know, and he said, I understand that you know some folks from around Whiteville, some bishops. You're related to them. And I'm like, yeah. And he come up to me, and I said, yeah. He said, do you know a Timmy Bishop? And I was like, yeah, that's my first cousin. And, man, Pastor Newble's face was like, because he knows my cousin. And he's like, you can't name him. And I'm like, and I just looked at him. I said, I know, you know. But it's those types of encounters that we had. And how many know we've got a future together with the Newbles? Amen. And it seems like we just kind of happened upon each other. I mean, no, we didn't just happen upon each other. But it was designed. It was an encounter of the future that God had put in our past. And every one of us can probably think of times to where we happened upon somewhere where there was a sense or there was a fragrance of something there from the Father. Amen? It's an encounter of the future. To encounter something means this. It means to happen upon. It means to come across. It means to experience. It means to fall in with. To meet up with. I like this. And it means to rub the eyeball. You know? You ever had an encounter, man, it's like, am I seeing this right? You know? I've been in services before, man, where I saw God just miraculously do some things with people, you know, and it's kind of like you're going. You know, or somebody, a minister friend of mine I used to travel with one time, you know, he held out his hand one time. He said, you see something in my hand? And I'm looking, and right in the palm of his hand, it was like it was very oily. It was like it was almost pooling up like a pool of oil, you know. And I'm looking, I'm kind of like, I'm holding it in the light, you know. I'm rubbing my eyes and like, you know, so I touch it, you know, and feel it, smell it. It smells like anointing oil or something, you know. And he begins to pray for people, and healing began to manifest because of that. But, you know, it was one of those encounters to where it was like, I got to rub my eyes on this one. But that's what an encounter is. It means to collide with. You ever just had a collision with the Holy Ghost? I mean, boom. Oh, sometimes, you know, we have to have those collisions so he can get our attention with him. I remember before I was serving the Lord, I had an encounter to where I had a dream that I dreamed that I was in a church, and this man in this church was preaching with a microphone walking back and forth, and he had gray slacks on. He was a white-haired man, had a white shirt on, had a long cord on this microphone off the platform preaching. I was on the front row, and he stops in front of me and says, that boy right there is a preacher. And I remember I could see myself in the dream. I was like, who, me? And I'm looking around, and I'm like, what am I on the front row for? I'm back row church goer, okay? And I'm on the front row by myself. You know, what is up with this? And everybody in that dream comes up to me and pat me on the back. Yeah, you're the preacher, man. And I woke up in a cold sweat. I wasn't even serving God. Come on, somebody. But it was reality to me. You know, it was so real. And I remember a friend I worked with who was a preacher. And I asked him, how'd you know you was called to preach? And he shared with me, you know, and everything. You know, how he felt the leading of the Spirit of God, you know, and I said, well, you know what? I told him the dream. I said, you think God's calling me to preach? You know, and I don't, I'm a heathen. I'm a good heathen. You know, I am. You think God's calling me to preach? And he scratched his head. His name was Nicky Hodum. I never forget it. Scratched his head, and he said, well, Barry, you got to be saved and born again before you can be a preacher. And I remember, Sean, that like it's right now. I looked at him, I said, I know that. Duh. You know, I mean, I had no clue. Come on, somebody. I had no sense, but I knew it was real. And how many know 6 months later, I gave my life to the Lord. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And guess what? A prophet came to town at my uncle's church. My grandmother, who's in the nursing home up here. I don't know why I'm telling this. I've told this before, testimony, but it's going to help somebody. My grandmother was going to the same church. And I went there, you know, and they was having a revival, and this guy was a prophet of the Lord. And I ain't never been. I was a good Baptist boy when I went to church. You know, I ain't never been there before and around with no prophets or anything like that. And so I went to my grandmother, and I said, Granny, I said, I want to go to these meetings, but I am scared. I'm scared to go. She said, why? And I said, well, he's a prophet. You know, and the only thing I knew about prophets is, you know, they're going to tell you some stuff about yourself, and it probably ain't good. That's what I understood about prophets, you know. And I remember my little grandmother down here in the nursing home, she said, Barry, she said, the Holy Ghost is not going to do anything to harm you, amen, to embarrass you, to hurt you, but anything he does, it's going to be for your good. And she said, if you want, I'll go, because she hadn't been to the meetings either. So we go to the meeting, and we go there, and she's got a pink dress on, I remember. And she had had some stomach issues. She had had some surgery and all that sort of thing. And it was messed up and you know, dealings in her stomach and everything. But anyway, I'm not going to go into details about that. So we go there, and we're sitting in the back room. It's packed. And I know a lot of people in this church, you know, because I've been kind of going there. I've been sneaking around out of the Baptist church and going over here to the Full Gospel Church a little bit. It was a little bit more alive, you know, and it was worth the drive. Come on, somebody. And so we're sitting in the back, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, oh, I'm praying, man. I'm praying as hard as I can. Oh, don't look at me. Don't look at me. And I'm sitting back. I'm telling y'all, God's honest truth. And that man started calling folks out of the pews, and I knew him, and he started prophesying over them, everything. And I thought, oh, man. And I knew him. I knew it was true stuff, you know, because I knew a little bit about him. And, man, he looks back here where we're at, and I'm like, you know, kind of like I'm acting like I'm praying. And I am really, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, and he says, ma'am, in the pink dress. My grandmother, I was like, oh, God, thank you, Lord. She goes up, and he looks at her, and he says, you've been dealing with stomach problems for years, but God's going to heal you tonight. And he prayed for my grandmother, and she fell out on the floor, man. I mean, the Spirit of God moved on her, man. It just broke me, you know, because I thought we were just talking about that. And, it, you know, ain't no way he knew that, because my grandmother hadn't been there, and one thing she don't do is lie, you know. And so I'm sitting there, I just start, tears just start rolling down my face, because I thought, man, that's God. That's all God, you know. And then he looks at me, and he says, come here, son. I was like, I'm going. Here I go. And I get up there, and I'm just looking at him, tears rolling down my face, you know. And he looks at me, and he says, I don't know what it is. He said, you love Jesus, don't you? And I was like, yes. Yes, I do. Oh, I'm saved to the bone. Yes, I am. You know, and he prays for me and everything. Long story short, the end of those meetings, I was sitting on the front row. Come on, hear this. Amen. And this man, white-haired man, takes his jacket off, rolls his sleeves up. He got gray slacks on, a white shirt, and he's got a microphone with a long cord. And he steps off the platform, starts walking back and forth. And I mean, just like the dream I had, he stopped right in front of me and said, God's calling this young man to preach. You need to obey God. And I knew it. And everybody in that church knew me. And at the end of that service, they would pat me on the back saying, you're the preacher, man. You're the preacher, man. I went to Nikki. I had forgotten about it. You know, this was 6-8 months later, you know. I was still working at that same place, and I went and I told Nikki. And when I told Nikki, he just started crying. And I was like, what's wrong with you, man? He said, don't you remember that dream that you told me before you was even serving God? You know, and I was like, I mean, it just hit me. I didn't even think about it, you know. But God had been dealing with me. But it was an encounter that happened 20-something years ago, 21 years ago, that to this day, I'll never forget it, because there was something that got on me that changed the course of my life forever. It was one of those encounters of my future. Amen. And God will do that. Why? Because look at your neighbor and say, he's taking us someplace. He's taking us someplace. We'll have these encounters. It seems like we just happen or come across it, but man, how many know it's designed by the Father? And every one of you in here, I want you to be encouraged today that, you know, you may be thinking, I don't know which way I need to go, or I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And I'm going to tell you, I can look back, you know, even today, I can look coming down here. God, are we doing everything right? You know, are we moving the way you want us to move? Because, God, I just, you know, I feel like I'm just kind of in a river, and the current's just kind of taking me, and I don't know what's coming around the next bend, but I know I feel like I'm in a flow, but, God, I want to know, am I in the flow? You know, and how many can relate to that being in your life? To where, you know, it just seems like, God, I seem like I'm missing it every time. But I'm going to tell you something. Even right now, feeling like that, when I take a stance and I look back at what God's done in my life, I felt like it was like, you know, here. And then, you know, just all over the place. But when I look back, how many know it's just a smooth path? And God directed every one of my steps. Come on, and God will direct your steps. Why? Because the steps of a good man or woman, how many know they're ordered of God? It was. I can look back and I can see encounters that I didn't even know happened at the time, but it was encounters of my future that God was causing me to happen upon. Oh, that's good. I collided. I had an engagement there. Sometimes it felt confrontational. Come on, somebody. How many know to encounter means to confront sometimes? But every one of them were ordered steps, one right after another. It wasn't just, you know, shotgun blast, here you go, I'm shooting you into the world, Barry. But how many know it was planned? It was thought out, every part of our life, and I just didn't know. Why? Because I was having trouble remembering those conversations I had before I was in my mother's womb. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Jeremiah 1. Verses 4 through 5. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew. And hear this. Somebody knew. Hear this, Tammy. And I approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, Sean, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you. And I appointed you, Lydia, a prophet to the nations. Psalms 139:13 says, for you created my inmost being. This is the New International Version. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I picture a mother knitting a blanket or a sock or whatever for her child. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Hear that. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. I like that. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. Oh my God. God planned our lives, church. And when we come to Jesus, come on, we begin remembering, you know, and we have these encounters that we run into and we feel like, I've been here before, or I know you, or I, you know what I'm saying? But how many know those things were ordered and ordained of God? They were written in the book of your life that God had written and started before He even formed your body in your mother's womb. Amen. And He ordained you. He ordained you to walk in those things before one of them ever, He saw you walking in them. Hear this, before you ever started walking in them. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. How many know God's thought about you? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. This is the Amplified. And not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Listen to the New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God will give us encounters of the future. What are you talking about? I'm talking about pieces of the future that we will happen upon. What do you mean pieces? I mean opportunities. Come on. Open doors. Connections. Amen. I never in a million years, Sean, I've had this conversation with you, thought I would ever be connected to Pastor Daryl Barber the way I'm connected to Pastor Daryl Barber. When I first met Pastor Daryl Barber, oh my God, I don't know, 14 years ago, I guess, I was at another church that happened to fellowship with the church in Hornwall, and they used to go to their convention that they'd have, the Word of the Lord convention they'd have in October every year. Pastor Daryl was the worship leader there and everything, and they would come down to the Salisbury Church to Friendship at that time is what it was called when I was there, and they would minister and everything, and I remember, man, these are some high-caliber people. That was the word I had for them when I first met them. I mean, Pastor Daryl, even then and more now, it was just a plethora of the Word. I mean, it just come out in Revelation, had such an understanding of real covenant relationships that I'd never seen before. You'd go to their church in Hornwall, you know, and when you'd come up to the children in that church, it wouldn't be like, hey, you, hey, this. It was like, brother, so-and-so. I mean, a real humility in the kids, you know. And that first thing that stuck out to me when I went up there, I thought every one of these kids I run into was like, it's like they really have a respect for me. And they don't even know me, you know, and it boggled my mind. Never thought I would ever be connected with them. At that time, we were just acquaintances, you know, just getting to know each other. And I went to one of their conferences one time and went up there, and they were ministering to some people. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, I just fell in love with them. I mean, they weren't even praying for me or nothing, but it's like I just fell. And every time I got around them, I was all over them, just hugging on them, you know, and they was hugging on me, you know. But I, you know, I thought, how did this happen? It was an encounter for my future. We had never talked about my callings, my giftings, or anything like that. And it would be 2 years later before I'd ever become part of their church, you know, at this time, and became part of their church and went up there. And we talked. We talked some 12, 13 years ago about this right here. 13 years ago, we were talking about this place. We were talking about you guys, the Harrises, the Watkins, Coates, Calpins, Wilkins. We were talking about these different people that God had already set, hear this, in motion. Amen. Just like Abraham taking the sacrifice of his son up the mountain, at the same time there was a ram coming up the other side. Amen. And as God was preparing Lady J and myself to come down to this place in this region and to set up the work of the Lord. Let me say that again. The work of the Lord. Amen. That He has appointed and anointed. Amen. As we're coming up this mountain and making our way here, we're thinking, who's going to be there? But at the same time, you guys was coming up the other side. Amen. And we met at the pinnacle of that thing in this place called Selmer, Tennessee. Wow, God. That was ordained before any of us had a formed body in our mother's womb. Come on, think with me. Come on, think out of the box with me. His portion, amen, His inheritance, it's in you for this place, this region. What are you saying? This is where you at right now. Not saying you're not going to go somewhere else in another country, another state, whatever, wherever the Lord may lead you, but right now you're planted here. Amen. And so right now, we've got to learn how to flourish. Why? Why? Because we being the portion of the Lord and the inheritance of the Lord, how many know there's other people that's still coming up that mountain? Amen. That hadn't got here yet. And they're waiting on us to be, come on, hear this, ready. Ready to be able to minister to them. Ready for them to know what the tone and the shape of this church is when they walk through the door. Amen. Are they going to walk through this door and say, well, my God, all the black people sitting over there and the Hispanic people sitting right here. And come on, somebody. You know, we got all the rich people sitting over here in the good pews and all the poor. You know, what's the tone going to be? We set that. We set that in this place. Why? Because there's are things that we're coming against as a people. God, this ain't just happen chance. This right here. And you might be saying, yeah, but look at all these empty pews. That don't matter. It don't change the Word of God. It don't change what He's called us to do and called us to be. Amen? Why? Because He knows His thoughts and plans for us to prosper us, not to harm us. Hope and a future. God will give us encounter pieces of the future, opportunity, open doors, connections. Amen? That we will just run into. He'll give us a glimpse, hear this, of the future. What's a glimpse? It's a dream. A vision. Come on, somebody. You know, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm a dreamer. And I ain't just talking about at night in the bed with my head on the pillow. I'm talking about, man, I'm driving down the road. I am dreaming about things. Lady J and I making this hour trek from Lexington down here, you know, honey, just think. We'll get to talking like this. One day we're going to say, you remember when we had to rent those stinking toilets back there because we didn't have a bathroom? And look where we at now. I feel like I'm there right now. Amen. Why? Because I know this is not the end result. Amen. This is just me standing in a place of time and a season right now to where God has given me glimpses of my future. And I run into other people and I share them. Lydia comes and she says, Pastor Barry, I had a dream. And guess what she dreams about? She dreams about the same things we dream about. That's not coincidence. It's not coincidence. Why? Because God has connected people together and giving us encounters of our future with one another. And when she shares her dreams with me, I feel like she can share them with us and not feel like, well, he's going to think I'm an idiot or I'm stupid. Amen? And she don't, if I share my, I don't care how crazy it sounds. And I've had some crazy dreams. You know? But I believe they're significant. They're significant. And so God gives us, through those dreams, he gives us glimpses of the future. And we put the pieces together, visions. There's prophecies that will go out over our lives. Amen? You ever had a prophecy that the Lord gave you that you felt like, man, I can't share that with just anybody? Or a dream. I can't just share that with anybody. Because I'm going to tell you, some of the people that will shoot your dreams down the quickest will be those that's closest to you. Amen? And you have to guard those things. Sometimes, especially when they're dealing with you, because how many know your dreams usually deal with your future? It is about you and what God is doing with you. And you begin to share dreams, kind of like Joseph. Joseph was totally innocent in sharing his dream with his brothers. He was excited. Why? Because God's given me a glimpse of what he's going to do in my life. And I thought, surely my family would receive that. And they hated him because of his words and his dreams. Amen? They hated him because of it. You got to be careful who you share those things with. But God will give us glimpses, prophecies, visions, dreams of our future. And I love this. He'll even cause us to begin to see ourselves in the scriptures. You ever read the Bible? And as you're reading scriptures, it's like, that's me. And this is one I don't share with a lot of people, you know, because your theologians, you know, will say, well, let's talk about Jeremiah, or that's talking about, and I'm like, uh-uh. Me and Jeremiah must be related. Amen? And I begin to see myself. What are you talking about? I hadn't got this scripture, Emily, but John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was a man sent from God. He was not Christ, come on, I'm paraphrasing, I know I am. He was not Christ, but he was sent to testify of the light. He was not the light, but he was sent to testify, and his name was John. Man, I read that, you know what I say? There was a man sent from God, and his name was, and all of a sudden, Barry. He wasn't that light, but he was sent to testify of that light. And I begin to see myself in scriptures, and then you go down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh. Amen, and dwelt among them, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of God. And I begin to see that, and I know it was talking about Jesus, but when I read it, I see I am supposed to be the manifested Son of God in the earth. I am the Word becoming flesh again in this realm that God has planted me in. And you begin to see yourself in the Scripture. You begin to see how God would use people like Abraham and Moses. Amen, and Noah, and you fill in the blank, Gideon, and all the men and women of God in the Bible that we read about, and all of a sudden you see yourself in the Scriptures. Amen, you ever seen yourself in the Scripture? What does that mean? That means we're beginning to understand there's times, there's seasons that's written in his book about my life. And there's times and seasons that God's going to take me through, and I can find them in His book written about me. All of these encounters, hear this, serve the purpose of re-energizing our memory of who we were created to be. That's the purpose of it. Let me say it again. All the encounters that we have, they serve the purpose of re-energizing our memory. Remember? He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. If I knew Him, we must have had conversation. There must have been things we talked about. And as I have these encounters of the future, come on, how many know it jogs my memory? I don't know why I feel like I've been in this place before. I don't know why. I'm going to tell you, ever since I've been saved, I wanted to come to Selma, Tennessee. I've shared that, I think, maybe with you, Lady J. I don't know if anybody else. But I'm talking about ever since I've been serving the Lord, God had in my heart, if you can picture this, I could feel His hand running through my back and my chest, pointing. Boom. Selma, Tennessee, I want to do something great in Selma. And I mean, before I was ever really preaching or anything, I got friends that preach in denominations and everything, and they tried to get me in the denomination with them, and it just wasn't the plan of God. Not that they're bad denomination, but they tried to get me in that, you know, and we talk about planting churches and stuff, you know, and I would say, you know what? There needs to be a church of that denomination in Selma, Tennessee. There ain't one. I mean, way back then, just talking about those, I was having encounters of my future, and I didn't even know what it was about. Come on, I was struggling trying to remember, you know, I got to go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, you know. I'm trying to remember those types of things, much less about things that God is bringing me to. But as we grow in the knowledge, come on, the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of Him, amen, He begins to release those things to us. Oh, this is all right. This will help us. These encounters, they serve the purpose of re-energizing our memory, who we created to be. 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 7 says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, and then in your mother, I'm persuaded in thee also, Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift. We talked about this last Sunday, I know. Because God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. In 2 Peter, I love this one. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Your pure mind, church. Your pure mind is the mind of Christ that's in you. Amen. And how many know the mind of Christ knows your true identity? The mind of Christ, your pure mind in you. Come on. It knows the conversation that you had with the Father before you were formed in your mother's womb. Come on, somebody. Your pure mind knows. Stir your pure mind, Peter said, by way of remembrance. There's keys of remembrance that come to us that begin to identify who we are. Remembrance, it stirs the gift in us. Amen. It's our pure minds. It's the words spoken. When these words spoken over us, they are words that define our gifts and who we are. Amen. Words of prophecy, the dreams, the visions, like we said, those glimpses, those times that we have where we happen upon an encounter of our future that God gives us, and He gives us a dream or a word of prophecy to come. You don't know what you can do, come on, until you know who you are. And you don't know who you are until you know what you can do. And God will cause us to have encounters of our future so we begin to remember who we are. Utilizing this key, it causes us to go on. It causes us to keep moving. It causes us to keep operating in the things that God's called us to. I said all that to get to here. Question, what do I do when I have these encounters? First of all, we got to recognize we're going to have them. And when they are happening, we got to recognize they're happening. But then what do I do after I have this encounter of my future? And there's a story about King David who had an encounter. I believe it'll help us see things a little bit more clearly. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 is what I'm going to read first. Out of the King James, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David rose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzziah and Ahio, that's how you say that, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now let's go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Everybody remember this story? And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook. Remember? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perah-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Have you ever asked the question, how is this thing, God, that you've called me to, how is it going to come to me? How are we going to get there? How's that going to take place? Amen. What are the key factors involved, you know? Because, I mean, we want some precise things sometimes when we're believing God for something or trusting God for something. And how many know sometimes it doesn't seem to be that clear when we begin to hear them? But the presence of God, hear this. This is what I want to show you in these scriptures right here. The presence of God and what God's called us to, hear this. It does not come on a new cart. What's a new cart? A new cart speaks of something that's manufactured by man. Amen? Oh, hear this right here. A new cart, I love this, is made of boards and big wheels. Let that sink in a little bit. Something that's manufactured by man. Boards, you know, committees, boards. Got to have a board for everything in the church. And big wheels. You got to have big wheels. You know, it's got to be money in there. Tell you something, the presence of God and what God wants to do, it ain't going to come on a new cart that's made with boards and big wheels. I believe in administration. I believe in church government. So don't hear what I'm not saying, man. But I'm not talking about man's form of government. I'm talking about a theocracy and not a democracy. Amen. And the way God does things, there's a sovereign way that God does things, and He don't need man's manipulation. Come on. To try to make the thing work. See, the glory of God does not come through the manipulation of religion or the manipulation of those who think that their money gives them authority in the kingdom. That needs to soak in. The glory of God does not come through the manipulation of religion or manipulation of those who think that their money gives them authority in the kingdom. I don't care how much money you got. That don't mean you got it all tied up in the kingdom. Amen? But so many people use that to manipulate and get their way. Well, I tell you what, preacher, if you don't do it this way, me and my tithe is going somewhere else. Manipulation. Amen? All right, let me tell you, preacher, I don't think it ought to be done that way. And because I don't think it ought to be done that way, then my money ain't going in it no more. What you going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? Manipulation. You know, just because somebody's got money don't mean they got authority in the kingdom. Amen? You know, it may mean they good business people and they got good job, you know, whatever. And that's okay and that's good. That's good. But that money is a tool. Amen? It's a tool that can't be used to manipulate it. Something with. What do you mean? A wrench fits on a bolt and a nut. It was designed to tighten loose nuts on a bolt, a wrench. You know? Now you could take that wrench and drive a nail in a wall with it and manipulate it to make it happen. But how many know that tool wasn't designed to drive no nail? Your money wasn't designed, come on, to drive and tell people what to do in the church and manipulate folks with. It was used to be a tool for what it was designed for, to further the kingdom, to finance the kingdom. That's what your money is for, but people use their money. Amen? Well, you know, if you go down there, you know, you probably won't get no help financially because they ain't got a lot of money in that church. Manipulation. These mindsets, they want to do all the driving. Hear that? What am I talking about? Scripture says this. It says that they drave the ark on a new car. Amen. A man was driving the presence of God. Amen. And having those mindsets, it means I want to do all the driving. Yeah, I want God in my life, but you know what? I want to call the shots. I want to hold the steering wheel. I want to work the pedals. Yeah, I want to make sure, you know, I put the gas in. Come on, somebody. Those mindsets, they want to do all the driving. But the scripture says, you know, that those, they were driving the ark on the new car. The presence of God will not be driven. Amen? David asked the question then, how will the ark of the Lord come to me? Amen. He tried to do it through man's way, but how many know that wasn't the right way? The ark of God is not to be driven. 1 Chronicles 15:11. Stay with me. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Abinadab, and said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for. He was trying to get the ark to Zion, to the city of David. Amen. That was his destination. That's where he was going. He wanted it there. Amen. There's a destination in our life. We want to get there. How many know there's a way that God has designed for us to get there? And David begins to get a revelation and understand, you know, we ain't supposed to bring, we can't drive the presence of God and manipulate it to where we want it to go. We got to do it according to the way God wants it. So, you priests, sanctify yourselves. Amen. How many know he got in the book, the law of Moses, and saw how it was done in the tabernacle? And for because he, you did not at first, says the Lord, let me back up a little bit, that they may bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after, say, the due order. There's an order. There's a way God does things. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark, hear this, of God upon their shoulders with staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of God. The presence of the Lord must be carried upon the shoulders of the priests. Amen. The presence of God will not be driven, but it's got to be carried. Amen. And you and I as priests of God, if we're going to reach our destination, we got to understand that we are carriers of his presence. We're carrying him, if you would, like a king. You ever seen those old movies where they got the king sitting up on a little throne thing and they're walking, carrying him? Come on, somebody. We carry the presence of God. We're not driving. Come on, God, let's get it. You are slowing down. Come on, we don't drive the presence of God and the things that he wants, but you carry the presence. It must be carried upon the shoulders of the priest. The presence of God only comes according to the due order of the government of God. David had a collision, if you would. Come on, an encounter. A collision with the Lord that caused him to have to rub his eyes. Wait a minute, I got to refocus in order so he could focus clearly on how to reach his destination. 1 Chronicles 15:26-29 in the Amplified says this, and when God helped the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with a safe start, they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and as were the Levites who bore the ark, and the singers, and Chananiah, director of the music of the singers. David also wore an ephod, a priestly upper garment of linen. What's this picturing us? It's picturing David as a king priest. Amen. Bringing the presence of God, coming into a place of his destination as a king and a priest. How many kings and priests we got in here today? Come on, somebody. There's a way, a due order that God will have us reach our destination in giving us these encounters that we collide where he'll shake us and say, hey, you ain't doing it the way I want you to do it. Let me give you an encounter of your future that will cause you to have a confrontation in your soul or in your mind or whatever that's going to cause you to understand there's a way that you'll come into your destination. Amen. And David began to put on the kingly robe and garment, but he also had the ephod, the priestly garment. Just a picture of those that are going to carry the presence of God and reach their destination will be those of a kingly priestly order. Thus also Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, a sound of the cornet, trumpets and cymbals sounding aloud with harps and lyres. I'm telling you, praise and worship is part of our understanding. There's a destination for us to reach. It's part of us running into those encounters of our future. Amen. We better be worshipers. We better be praisers. Amen. We better be tuned to the sound that God is declaring. As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, David's wife, daughter of Saul, looking from a window, saw King David leaping as in sport, and she despised him in her heart. Once we have an encounter of the future, we must begin to operate at a pace that will accelerate the process that takes us into our destiny. Did you catch that? Once we have an encounter of the future, we must begin to operate at a pace. Hear that? We're not too far ahead of God, but we're not too far behind. We're walking at His pace. We're synchronized. Walking at a pace that will accelerate the process. When we walk at His pace and do it the way the due order is, come on, how many know it will actually accelerate the process that takes us into our destiny? What do? We praise toward our destiny. Amen. David was praising toward his destiny, his future. David lost his clothes on the way to Zion. Hear this. When we praise toward our destiny, it will cause those things we don't need to fall off. Come on, these are ways, these are things that we do when we have those encounters of our future. We got to start praising toward that destiny. Amen. I'm going to worship you, God, whether I feel like it, come hell or high water, God, because I'm going to worship you anyway because I know you're taking me someplace, man. And our praise, amen, we praise toward it. It'll cause us to lose those things we don't need. David lost his clothes. Amen. What else did David do? They started praying. Amen. They started sacrificing. We got to pray toward our destiny. Amen. We got to pray according to what God's called us to do. Come on, you need to pray your destiny. God, you said that you called me a prophet to the nations, God. God, and I'm just going to believe you that, and I'm going to begin to declare those things. See, praying according to what the Father has revealed, it creates, hear this, an atmosphere. Remember, the incense was a picture of the prayers of the saints and the worship of the saints going up. So when we begin to pray, come on, it creates an atmosphere for revelation and impartation to come to us. So we pray toward our destiny. Why? So an impartation will come. We're creating an environment that's conducive, amen, for the impartation of God to come to strengthen us, if you would, or give us what we need, or that got to pray toward your destiny. Then what do? Prophesy toward your destiny. Amen. The declaration, this declaration of what the Father has said will establish a foundation for the light of His favor to be released. Say that again. When we prophesy, what do you mean prophesy? We begin to speak what God has said. You got words of prophecy over your life? You begin to bring those back to the Lord. You begin to declare those things. God, you said. And God, I make declaration. And as you begin to make declaration, what happens in that? It begins to establish a foundation for the light of His favor to be built upon in your life. Amen. And to be released. Why do we do these things? Why do we do these things? Because of this. It's the expression of God released from His people that causes those things that are not of Him to go barren. Let me say it again. The expression of God released from His people. Expression, what do you mean? Praise. I mean prayer. I mean prophesying. The expressions of God released from His people, they cause those things that are not of Him to go barren. Amen? Those things that are not prosperous for you to walk in, when you begin to express these things to God that He's declaring over your life, the things about your future, the expression releases something in our life that causes those things that are not of us to go barren. What are you talking about? When you begin to prophesy towards your future, religion will go barren. Michal, she began to despise the dancing and the praising of the king coming into the place. And what happened? She went barren. Amen. It speaks of those scoffers, those naysayers that say it will never be, it'll never come to pass. And you go ahead and praise anyway towards your future. Come on. You go ahead and pray anyway towards your future. You go ahead and prophesy what the Lord has said about your future, and religion and the scoffers will go barren. They'll become unproductive in your life. What else will happen? Poverty will go barren. Amen. Well, you've always been poor. You've always been on welfare. You've always been without a job. That's just the way it is. You know, the government's supposed to take care of us anyway. You know, they got to, you know, I'm telling you, when you begin to prophesy towards your future and pray towards your destiny, come on, somebody, and praise and worship toward the things that God's calling you to. I'm telling you, poverty will go barren. It will not be able to produce in your life again. Racism in this city, because we are proclaiming, Lady J prophesies every service. We are a multicultural church. We are the gathering place of nations. And everybody looks around when they come in this place like, I don't see no ethnic folks in here. I see a bunch of white folks in here is what I see. Amen. But I mean, we're declaring. Why? Because we're declaring those things that God has said about our future, because we're going to cause racism in this city to go barren. Amen. Oh, well, you know, there's been churches like that before, Pastor Barry, that they tried to start in that place. And I got to pull my shirt out. I'm sorry. Y'all just have to, I got to get loose now. There's been people in that town that started churches like you, Pastor Barry. You know, every one of them failed. Every one of them failed. You know, never mounted anything. You know, that building you entered, had been two churches in it already. Come on, somebody. But when we begin to declare what God is, because this thing was built out of order. Come on, it wasn't built out of a split. It wasn't built out of man's manipulation. And because it wasn't built out of man's manipulation, how many know failure's got to go barren? Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying we can't fail. We cannot fail because we're moving according to the due order that God has already predestined and preordained before you and I were in our mother's womb. Come on. Amen. To this place. And because God ordained it, it cannot fail. Failure will go barren. Amen. What else? What else? Well, in this town, there are just people that are so, they have no hope. They have no sense of making it, you know, any further. They want to give up, and they have a sense of despair about him. I'm telling you, when we begin to prophesy to the future of this city and what God wants to do, there's apathy, yes. You know, just laziness or whatever, you know. I'm telling you, apathy will go barren. But I also tell you this, that there are people that are distressed in their minds because of the financial situation, or they're in a poverty type situation. It causes depression to try to come against them. But I tell you right now that if we as a church, because it ain't just about us, amen, but it's about this region, and we begin to declare the words of God and the life of God that's going to come to this place, and we prophesy and we praise and we pray toward our destiny, I'm telling you, depression will go barren. Why? Because we're having encounters with our future. All things that are not of him will go barren. Our encounter of the future enables us to know how to talk. And I'm going to finish with this story right here. We got to learn how to talk, church. In Judges 12, 1 and 6, and I don't know if she's going to go there or not, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this. There's an account of the Gileadites gaining victory over the Ephraimites. The Gileadites crossed over Jordan. Amen? I mean, Jordan is a picture of death. And here you have a people that haven't crossed over. How many people in here have crossed over Jordan? Come on. We've crossed over death to overtake and catch the Ephraimites as they would attempt to cross over. Their enemy would try to cross over too, but they were laying wait for them to take care of them if they tried to cross over. So some of the Ephraimites, they would try to disguise themselves and cross over. But the Gileadites, they had a test for them. Hear this. They had a test for those who would attempt to try to come over. They would have to say the word Shibboleth to see if they could frame or pronounce this word. See, the Ephraimites, they couldn't say Shibboleth. Their speech betrayed them. They couldn't say the word. They couldn't frame it right. They could only say Shibboleth instead of Shibboleth. Hear that now. And this was a test they would give them, and they said, oh, wait a minute. You ain't one of us. You can't even talk. You can't talk right. Your speech is betraying you. And they knew that they were an enemy because they could not frame or pronounce that word, and their speech would betray them. So they couldn't speak the language, hear this, of the people of God. Shibboleth means nothing. It's not even a word. But hear this. Shibboleth, it means flowing like a river or stream. So as we begin to flow with the river of God, hear this, church, let us learn how to talk the language of the kingdom. What are you saying? I got to know how to praise toward my destiny. That's the part of the language of the kingdom. People of God, people of the kingdom, they know how to praise toward their destiny. I got to learn how to pray toward my destiny. Speak those things and create an atmosphere and a fragrance that goes up before the Lord to bring back to His remembrance the things that He said over us. And He comes down and He begins to move and bring impartation and revelation. The people of God, the kingdom people of God, they know how to talk and know how to pray toward the destiny. Amen. And we know how to prophesy. Isaiah 50:4 says this in New International Version. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Listen to King James. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I mean, God's trying to get us to have words in season to some weary folk. Amen. We better know the language of the kingdom. We better know how to praise toward our future. Come on, somebody. These encounters, God is trying to take us someplace. As we do these things, there's things that happen. Amen. We got to know how to speak a word in season. Him is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Amplified says, the servant God says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple or as one who is taught. And finally, in Ezekiel 37:15, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick. Somebody say another stick. Write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim. Somebody say another stick. And for all the house of Israel, three sticks. And join them one to another into one stick. Here's that pattern of three I talk a lot about that we see in Scripture again. And it says, join them together into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. So the stick speaks of a branch or a tree. How many know who the branch is? Judah speaks of praise, specifically prophetic praise in this instance, okay? The song of the Lord or the song of deliverance, like you read about in Zephaniah 3:17. He sings over us with songs of deliverance. You ever heard that before? Amen. So Judah is one stick. Come on, somebody. It's praise. It's prophetic praise that has to be part of our spiritual DNA if we're going to learn how to speak the language of God. Joseph speaks of the Lord who adds and brings increase. That's what his name means, increase. I mean, no, God wants us to have a part of our life and part of our DNA, understanding that he desires to bring increase and that we are people of increase. Ephraim speaks of the double portion. That's what his name means, that belongs to the firstborn. It means doubly fruitful. Ecclesiastes 4:12 talks about a threefold cord is not easily broken. What am I saying? I'm saying this. If we're going to have these encounters of our future, the language of the kingdom that we speak into our realm of influence will only be effective when it flows from a branch of praise that releases increase, that produces a double portion that belongs to the firstborn of many brethren. Amen. How many are part of that company that's in this house this afternoon? It is the message of the true branch, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the firstborn son, the Christ. Amen. That's what's going to change this region. It is a message that begins with grace and ends in resurrection life. Amen. So we must prophesy with the threefold strength of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. We must have encounters of the future. Go ahead and stand to your feet. You know, you remember when Jesus was standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee there, I believe it was. This was after his resurrection. And he told Peter and all them they had gone fishing. They ain't caught nothing. You know, and he told them to cast out their net again, you know. And they said, all right, we're going to do it. And they brought in a great draw of fish. They brought them to the shore. They cast the net and they brought them to the shore. And it specifically says they caught 153 great fish. Amen. And I've always looked at that, you know, well, what's that talking about? And I believe it's just what we just said right here. Amen. The number one is the number of beginnings. Number five, it always speaks of the number of grace. And three speaks of resurrection life. 1, 5, 3. What is God telling us today? He's telling us this. It's the message that we preach. It's got to begin in grace. Come on. And it's got to be a message that ends in resurrection life. And that's what's going to cause this region, amen, this future that God has given us a glimpse of, every one of us, before we were in our mother's womb. That's the message that's going to bring this thing to fruition. Amen? We must have these encounters of the future. We must prophesy with the threefold strength of the gospel of the kingdom. Begin in grace and end in resurrection life. That's the message. Amen? God's called us to give a word of life to this region, and I want to give it. And you're part of it. Grow where you're planted. Flourish where you're planted at. Learn how to become fruitful where you're planted at now. Amen? You have a future, and there's a hope in your future, but you're living in the now. Amen? So God is declaring to us today, what are you going to do with the now? See, now faith is. Now salvation is. Come on. Now deliverance is. Now is the word of God, you know, that you're, you know, we are called to flourish where we're planted. Every one of us are called to do that. Amen? An encounter of the future. You receive it today.